Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin our reading with verse number 17. Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's begin our reading with verse number 17, okay? We're in the practical section now. We've learned that we were elected and predestined from the foundation of the world, and don't forget that there's human will in that thing. There is choice, human choice, that's wedded into this. I'm not discussing the theological implications of election, except the Bible teaches, regardless of how it is coincided with or made consistent with the free will of man, there was an election that took place before the foundation of the world, and there was a predestination that took place before time and space were ever invented, before there existed anything of our universe, in the heart and mind of God. And we were included in that. And God, that was the beginning point in God's heart and mind. In our life, it was Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked. You lived this way. You were a part of this. But God, who is rich, has a wealth of mercy, of compassion, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Raised us up, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we have what happened to us on that day. God, at the beginning, before the beginning was, it was in the mind of God. It happened to us in the time framework in which we exist and live today, in which the universe exists and operates today. And this should have a profound impact upon who we are, how we conduct ourselves in this world, how we relate to that culture that I described for you in the morning message, according to the words of Dr. John MacArthur. So, Ephesians 4:17, here we go. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Now, you might just put pagans in there. This is the unsaved world. The Gentiles are the pagans, okay? Walk not as other pagans walk, in the vanity, that's the emptiness, the uselessness of their mind. Notice there's an emphasis on mind here, but their mind doesn't connect with what's good and right and true. Their mind is disconnected from God. If you're disconnected from God and you're thinking, you're stupid and foolish. Okay? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated, that is separated from the life of, excluded from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, they're calloused. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's sensuality, to work all uncleanness or impurity with greediness. Greediness means you do it with a vengeance. You go after it with energy. But you've not so learned Christ. Christ is not a part of this. If so be, you've heard of him and taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now notice, I want you to notice three expressions in verses 22 to 25. Notice in verse 22, we are to put off. Notice in verse 23, we are to be renewed. Notice in verse 24, we are to put on. Notice in verse 25, we are to put away. All right? These are all choices, decisions, that we make concerning who, what we are, and concerning how we are going to live and conduct our lives. We decide we're going to put this off. This isn't appropriate to wear this kind of garment. We are going to put this on because this is appropriate. All right? We are going to be renewed, made new again in how we think. We're not going to think like everybody else thinks. We're not going to reason like everybody else reasons. We are not going to have the philosophical motivations that other people have. We are going to be renewed. We're going to have our minds made new. We're going to have different thoughts, different values. We're going to have different controlling principles in our lives. We're going to be renewed. Okay? He's describing. Now, where do we start? We start out needing to do all of these things. And we spend our life as a Christian growing in grace, yes or no? And the more we grow, the more we put off and put on and renew. There's a process that goes on. But it is not something that just happens accidentally. I make a decision. Look, I am an angry man. I'm a hateful man. And that has got to stop. And when I catch myself in individual situations, I'm going to put off and put on and get renewed. We've got to be thoughtful, thinking people. We need to catch ourselves when we're on the wrong track. We need to be alert. The spiritual mind is not a mind that's put asleep. People that don't think are not spiritual. Thoughtless people are not spiritual. The one of the signs of a spiritual mind is that it's quick, it's alert, it's working, it's in process. You're just not going with the flow. You're deciding where the flow is going and if you're going to go or not, and if you're going to swim against the current or if you're going to get out of the current. There are decisions to be made. The believer who is a spiritual believer has an active mind, very active and sharp, alert. That's the sign of a believer. So verse 22, you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life. The old man, the old self, which is what? What's the next word? Corrupt. It's just corrupt. According to the deceitful lust or the lust of deceit, be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. How you think and the attitudes of your mind. You know, the battle is in the mind. I need to do a series on that again. Wherefore, verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him work, labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be what? Put away. Be put away from you with all malice. That's ill will. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I have in my notes things that are inconsistent and contrary with our new life in Christ. They are damaging and destroying behavior choices that we make. Now, wow. All right. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, can I give you the paraphrase of that quickly? Notice the word wherefore. So we're going to say the logical conclusion is this. The logical conclusion, put off, be renewed, put on. The logical conclusion is this. All right? Put out of your life. This is an aorist tense. This is Greek grammar. Put out of your life once and for all. Get rid of this thing. Let me ask you a question. Supposing you went to the doctor and he said you had a tumor this large on your liver. All right? What do you want him to do? Leave it there? Take half of it off? Take two-thirds of it off? Take all of it off? And what do you want to happen when he takes it off? You want it to grow back? You want him to take enough so it's over? You want it gone? Yes or no? I want that thing gone. And when I get the PET scan, I want to know it's gone. Now that's the idea here. That's the idea here. Put out of your life once and for all everything that is false, deceitful, in its every form. And lying has a lot of forms. Each one of you is to be continually and consistently speaking truth. This is a Greek linear tense. It means something you do as a habit of life. You are to be continually and consistently speaking truth to his fellow man, because we are personally a part of each other. That's what that verse says. All right? Now, every form of lying, is to be done away. We are always to choose the truth. Now that's a word that is out of vogue in the culture in which we live. Will you go to John 8:44 just a moment? John 8:44. I'll see how far I can get. I've got 10 minutes. John 8:44. Turn there, please. John 8:44. Here Jesus is having a debate with the Pharisees, and he says to them in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil." What a statement. "The lusts, the passions of your father you will do." He was a what? Murderer. The word murderer in the Greek text means man killer. Man killer. Let me ask you a question. When you lie to somebody, what do you do to him or her? What ultimately are you really doing to their life? When you remove truth from someone so they can't act on truth, what are you doing to them? What are you doing to them? He was a man killer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks out of his own because he's a liar and he is the father of lies. He speaks out of his own character and nature. I think that if there's one thing that would characterize evangelical Christianity today, it's carelessness. Carelessness. Lack of discipline. Now, let me ask a question here. And we're going to come back to Satan because he is the father of lies. And the thing that really amazes me is that Satan and his kingdom are able to hold up together because it's built on falsehood and lies. And can you imagine demons lying to each other and then trying to build the kingdom of Satan by doing that? But can you imagine Christians lying to each other and trying to build the kingdom of God that way and families? Are you awake? Are you awake? Put away lying. Here, what are some lies? Help me quickly. Well, direct falsehoods. Deception of any kind. A mixture of truth and falsehood is really more dangerous than falsehood itself because you accept the truth because of the falsehood. Yes? Exaggeration. Cheating. Not keeping promises. Betraying confidences. There are all different kinds of ways that we lie. Cheating on our taxes, and that's getting in the area of stealing. That's lying and stealing. Two things there. See, you have two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of Satan, which is built on deception. Why did Eve eat that fruit? I was deceived. Adam, why did you eat it? The woman deceived me and I ate. The serpent deceived me. The woman deceived me. Deception and lies. Why is the human race in a mess? It's because of the lack of truth and the consistency of truth. You can say amen to that. Got one of them on that. Where are the rest of you? How important is the truth? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Why do we know that we are saved? Why do we know we are children of God? Because God's word is, give me the T word, truth. Without truth, there is no certainty, there is no knowledge, there's no wisdom. There's no way. Truth is foundational to science. Why do they say that we are to test, put to the test every theory that comes up? Because we want to know the truth. You cannot send a rocket to the moon if your logarithms are not right. If your math is wrong, if you don't have the truth, you won't get there. You don't have the truth, you won't get to heaven. If your faith is not founded in God's word and the statements of God's word, you're not on your way to heaven. Period. Truth is absolutely essential to the divine order of anything and everything. The kingdom of God is built on truth. The entire universe is upheld by the utterances of God, which are the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the truth. The kingdom of God is built on truth. The kingdom of the devil is built on lies and falsehoods. And when we lie, whose kingdom are we building? When we deceive, we exaggerate, we color the truth, we don't come clean, whose kingdom do we build? I remember a pastor one time said, you know, he said, when you lie, what in essence what you're doing is you're saying Satan is really of more value and help to you in that situation than God is. Wow. Wow. How important is the truth? Put away once and for all. Put out of your life once and for all everything that is false and deceitful in its every form. Be continually and consistently speaking truth to his fellow man, because we are personally a part of each other. I will hasten to say this. Telling the truth does not mean you say everything that you know. In fact, when people come to me and they say, tell me the truth, I can take it. I never do tell them the truth. I don't lie to them. I just don't tell them anything. Somebody comes to me and says, I can take it. That tells me they can't. I've never seen a person that's come to me that said, I can take it, tell me the truth, that could take it. And if somebody ever says that to you, don't say anything. They can't take it. And they won't. To tell the truth doesn't mean you tell everybody everything you know about yourself or about others. You need to take most of the stuff you know about other people, you need to take it to the grave with you and let it be buried with you. It's not enough. Come on. All right. As a pastor, the things I know about people, wow. But God helping me, when my day comes and you put me in that box and say all those nice things about me, when you put me in the ground, you have no idea how much is going down there with me. I absolutely refuse to divulge things that are going to hurt other people. I don't care whether they're true or not. Telling the truth doesn't mean you say everything you know. Telling the truth doesn't mean you spill your guts about everything that's wrong with you. That's not a wise thing to do. You leave that between you and God. I've heard that done, and it's not good. Don't you go confessing everything about yourself to anybody else. Not the pastor, not the priest, not the rabbi. You go to God and talk about those problems. And you let God take care of them. Now, if you need some help in a spiritual battle, that's one thing. But ordinarily, you'd be very careful, especially with your friends, with your neighbors, fellow Christians. And you may have a deeply trusted friend to whom you want to become accountable for a battle in your life. All right, share with them. And I hope if anybody ever does that no one will ever find out the trust and the confidence that's been given you in that knowledge. You don't share it with your wife, your husband. You don't share it with your pastor. You don't share it with anybody. You just don't. Truth is important in relationships. We are members one of another. What happens if your brain sends one signal? Let's do it this way, because I've got this hippie thing going on here, okay? So what happens if my brain sends one signal to this foot and says go forward, and it sends a signal to that foot and says go backwards? They're both on the same body. My body's in trouble. We are connected to each other in life, not only in relationships, but in a life in Christ. We are members one of another. And lying hurts everybody. Lying hurts everybody. So, and I know there are nuances of this. I have not had time to deal with these. But We cannot hurt others without hurting ourselves. We are members one of another. Truth is important. Pastor Kelly does marriage counseling. When one spouse lies to the other, and let me tell you young people and teenagers a little secret here. If you want your parents to trust you, never, never, never lie to them. When you make one lie, they never know again from then on whether they can trust you. My mom and dad don't trust me. I've heard that so much from young people. My mom and dad don't trust me. The reason they don't is because you're not trustworthy. You never lie to your parents. It's more trouble to lie than it is to tell the truth always with parents. And with God, too. Be careful. Be careful how you tell the truth, to whom you tell the truth, and under what circumstances. Be sure the circumstances are proper. Be wise and judicious, but always the truth. Put away lying. Don't ever do it to anyone for any reason. Now, if you're in the military, I'm over time here. If you're in the military, there'll be a time military, an effective military is built on deception. You want the enemy to think you're going one place when you're going another. When they did D-Day, Hitler thought they were going to have a landing in another part of the place. They lied about where they were going to go. Now that's another matter. That's war. That's not personal relationships. So there are times and places where deception is important. When somebody goes on an investigation and they're trying to track down evil and wickedness, they'll do all kinds of things to find out. But in your normal relationships of life, that has no place. Put out of your life, once and for all, every form of lying. Be truthful, one with another. Take the consequences. Tell the truth. Okay? You don't have to tell everything you know, but tell the truth. Lying needs to be gone. I'm amazed. Did you hear me read that paragraph from John MacArthur this morning? Did you hear me read that? Our society is built on a house of lies. Lies in business, lies government, lies contracts, lies all over the place. People at work will not be accountable. They will not tell the truth. You don't know what you're dealing with anymore. Do you know why when you go to cash a check, you have to give your fingerprints and your prison record and your iris scan? That's because people are so dishonest. They lie. They cheat. We are living in a criminal society where the norm is to lie and cheat and steal. When we get to stealing, do you know how much of the cost of the goods you buy is involved and pays for theft? Do you know what the percentage is up to now? 30%. Shoplifting. Employee theft. Embezzlement. Dishonesty all over the place. That's our society. We should not be a part of it in that sense. We should not be a part of it. One of the great joys of being 150 years old is I can remember when my father did business, and today's dollars would have been up to $500,000. There was never a contract. There was never a signed document. There was an oral agreement and a handshake. Guess how much money my father lost? Not a dime. There was one liar within 10 miles of us, and everybody knew who he was. Isn't that amazing? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Now you can't nail people down with a contract. It's absolutely amazing how culture has changed, and they call it progress. I rather doubt it. I rather doubt it. But we are the people of God. Let it be known. Let it be known that we tell the truth. Yes? When we give you figures financial of our church, we do our dead level best to make sure they're honest to the penny. And whether we succeed, I don't know. I think we succeed pretty well at doing that. But we do our best to make sure that our word is our bond. When we say something, that's the way it is as far as we know. One more thing, let me say this. You've had times when government officials have said certain things, and later on it was found out that what they said was not true. You're listening to me. But when they said it, they thought it to be true. That was not lying. That was misinformation. You see, they had no ability to tell the truth other than what they thought they knew. So you be careful what you do with people, because there are times that you and I have thought something to be true, yes, and we've said it and later found out that it wasn't, yes. And then what do? You better make sure that you go to the person and say, I'm sorry, I was mistaken, and correct it, okay? So it's not lying if you attempt to tell the truth, and in the process you find out that the information that you had was faulty, okay? So be very careful how you hold people accountable for this thing. But if you want to hold somebody accountable, let it be, hold yourself accountable. Put off, be renewed, put on, and put away falsehood. Don't let it have any part in your life. Is this helpful to you? Now listen, discipline yourself. Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't go around calling people liars. A lot of people are misinformed. They really are. Some people think they're telling the truth and they're not. So don't go around judging everybody on this, but be very careful that in your own personal life, when you say it, as far as you know, as far as you can give account, it is true. It's accurate. And if you don't know, the best thing to do is not to say, I think, but to say, I don't know. It's better to say, I don't know, than to say something that you can't verify. You got it? Because if you don't know, people need to know you don't know. And if you make them think you do know, that's deceitful. So be careful. Just be careful how you do these things. Just be honest and above board in all of your dealings. Let's stand together, shall we?